Vegas Golden Podcast. This is the Player Per Day preview series leading up to the season. I'm Case Kiefer alongside Justin Emerson. And today we arrive at the greatest mustache on the team. John Merrill, the defenseman, back for his second year in Las Vegas.
Third year.
Come on. scratch that one. I already messed it up. I was so worried about this one because, you know, we've been talking about some of the more high-profile players, so I'm, like, sitting here scrambling trying to think what I'm going to say about John Merrill, and I forget that the Vegas Golden Knights have been in existence for 3 years.
To be fair,
I was looking ahead to Nick Holden. I think this is Holden's second year,
it
correct?
Would be Holden's
spoiler
second
of
year,
who,
yeah.
Spoiler of who's going to be tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah, he played 34 games in the first year and had 3 points, so I don't necessarily blame you.
It was a healthy scratch a few times, but that was just I really think it was the Nick Holden thing. So I apologize to John Merrill, but he will be on the team this year. He will have an opportunity. It was kind of a roller coaster with him last year. I feel like he was public enemy number one among the fan base early in the year. He made some mistakes, admittedly. I think he took blame for them early in the year when they were struggling. Then he kind of turned things around, and he was a pretty solid force by the time the Golden Knights went on their run at the end of the year. What version of John Merrill do we get this year?
I think the good one. Yeah, like you had said, he had kind of struggled at the beginning of the year playing on that third pair with Nick Holden while other players were kind of thrust into different roles. Schmidt's suspension kind of threw everything into a loop. Colin Miller was up near the top, so that third pair of Merrill and Holden was struggling. And then Merrill, once he turned into a possession monster when he was with once he got playing with Colin Miller playing on the bottom pair, that was would you believe that they were some of the better players as far as possession numbers go? They were John Merrill among players who played at least 18 games. John Merrill's 59% Corsi led the team, which I don't think is something that a lot of people give credit for. Miller is a little bit lower at 56%. But so, yeah, he kind of overcame the struggles to control the puck almost 6/10 of the time that he was on the ice, which is elite level numbers. Now, granted, you take that with a grain of salt. As the third pair defenseman, you're playing against the third and fourth line of the opposing team, so it's not exactly like you're playing against the Crosby line or the Tavares line or whatever star line is coming at you. But I'd rather have 59% from the bottom pair than 41% or something like that.
Yeah, that is that illustrates how far he came at the end of last year. I do think there's a little bit of a prove it angle with that here, sure, early in the season. Cause I was always a big Colin Miller guy. I thought he was a little, undervalued. I thought he was going to have kind of a breakout last year. Didn't end up happening. Now he's shipped off to Buffalo. But you know, certainly could have been a lot of him too. And it's going to be interesting to see how, Merrill jives with wherever he ends up early this season.
Yeah, you're definitely right. I mean, those numbers came in 57 games. So, I mean, if we were to take it among players who had played, you know, a little bit more, maybe more games shrinks the, kind of brings it back down to earth. But, John Merrill for the first time, well, I guess not the first time this is the second most games that he's played in a season, but, his Corsi numbers, have not been great, for his career. His rookie year, he was at 53.4%. Other than that, he's been 45, 46, 49. He was 50 last year in the inaugural season that you forgot that he played for. And then last year, it spiked to 59. It's not exactly like he was a scoring monster. He had, where'd he go? He had, I think it was 3 goals last year. Where is he? Yeah, 3 goals, 12 assists. So decent numbers from a third pairing defenseman. I mean, he's not a star, but he's a very valuable role player who I think is going to be a big member of this team this year.
Where do you see him sliding in this year? We've talked about a couple defensemen, Nate Schmidt and Derek England, but we haven't really talked about those bottom pairings. There's a little bit of a crowded blue line from what I understand. There's a lot of guys vying for playing time. Where do you see Merrill ultimately fitting in?
It is interesting. I'm beating the drum pretty hard for him to play with Nate Schmidt. I think he would look really good on the left side. Schmidt's shown an ability to play on the right pretty well when he was playing with Braden McNabb. I think Merrill is a good enough player that he could kind of boost his own play alongside a player like Schmidt. He's not going to jump into the rush, but it's not exactly like he's a true stay-at-home defenseman. He does have a shorthanded goal from last year, which is very rare for a defenseman, particularly one who only had three goals all of last season. But I like, as we talked about it on the Shea Theodore pod, or we'll talk about, my goodness, all the players are all mixing together. I guess I've talked a lot about Shea Theodore over the last week or two and the offseason. But I really like Theodore and McNabb staying together. I think they played really well together. They were a good balance of McNabb defensive prowess along with Theodore's desire to jump into the rush and ability to do so. I like Derek England, as we had mentioned on his pod, because we've actually done that one. I like him playing with whatever rookie wins the job out of camp, which just kind of by process of elimination leaves John Merrill and Nate Schmidt together. They haven't played together, but I think they would play well together.
That's an interesting one. Not that I've spent much time on thinking about the pairings, but not one I was thinking the direction you were going in. But I'd like to see it too. Why not? See if that's a combination that works out.
Yeah, it'll be interesting because Merrill's going to, obviously, as a defenseman, you get your 5-on-5 time. It's kind of hard to bury even a third pairing defenseman. You get a lot of ice time. He's going to play on the penalty kill quite a bit. Dare I say, might get some power play time depending on how they want to structure their power play unit. Right now, only Schmidt and Theodore are kind of the ones that you know are going to be power plays. So unless you're going to play one defenseman and four forwards on both units, which is a possibility, maybe Merrill gets a little bit of time. I think he's going to see an expanded role this year. I think he plays more than the 57 that he played last year. Good shot at reaching his career high that was 66 that was set in 2014-15. But yeah, like I said, I think he would play well with Schmidt, not only on a process of elimination, but because it said they're similar players. Nate, I think that if you're going to have the slider, would skew more toward offensive than defensive, but not to a Shea Theodore, Braden McNabb level extreme of Theodore being very offensive, McNabb being very defensive, whereas Merrill is kind of that nice balance. He'd be more defensive, but not that he won't take the shots. So, yeah. Schmidt and Merrill, let's make it happen.
Yeah, and be careful before, like I said, I just remember last year how much people were all over John Merrill at the beginning of the year. I'll say this for John Merrill. He has a chance by the end of his career to be the greatest NHL player ever from the state of Oklahoma. As I was flailing to make excuses for why I said it was only his second year. Like I said, I really was trying to look up interesting things about John Merrill, and I was surprised to learn that he is from Oklahoma City, one of only five NHL players of all time from Oklahoma.
Wow. Tyler Arneson?
Yeah, he's got a way to catch up to Tyler
Woodley.
Arneson.
Oh, he's already blown by goals. Dan Woodley and Burr Williams. Burr Williams, you remember Burr Williams from 1909?
He played 22 games in the 30s.
To be fair, John Merrill is already the best defenseman to ever come out of Oklahoma.
Yeah, I think he's probably not going to pass
Burr Williams. Tyler Arneson. I am reading these players' names for the first time.
Arneson's pretty recent. I thought you might have heard of him. I haven't, but...
He played five seasons in the...
Seven, right? Seven seasons.
Whatever.
in the mid-two... I forget, hey,
Merrill,
you're so young.
Merrill is only the second player from Oklahoma to play more than one season in the NHL, so... Good for him. Oh, I'm sorry. Burr Williams was born in 1909. He did not play in 1909.
So. That was a good lifespan, 1909 to 1981.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah, look at that. All right. We're talking about players from Oklahoma at this point.
I don't know. I was very surprised when I saw John Merrill was from Oklahoma. I just figured he was another Canadian guy. Yeah. Or at least like Minnesota or something.
He went to Michigan.
Yeah, he then went to Michigan, so...
I wonder how he feels about Harbaugh.
Yeah, and as someone who's lived in a neighboring state to Oklahoma, I'm just surprised that anyone plays hockey there. I didn't even know they had a rink, but apparently they figured it out somehow.
Yeah, I don't have much to add about Oklahoma hockey, to be told.
Oklahoma's finest, John Merrill.
You know what? I do have something to add about Oklahoma hockey.
All right.
When I covered Arizona State, they were playing at the club level, the ACHA. University of Oklahoma, the Sooners, really good at that level.
Oh, really?
And the University of Central Oklahoma... And I cannot tell you what city.
I forget what city.
Or what their mascot
they're
was.
Usually pretty decent at sports,
they're
though.
Pretty good at club hockey
there
as well.
Go.
So
yeah.
1 year when ASU went 38-2 in the regular season, one of those losses was to Oklahoma.
So I can
pretty much promise that this is the last time that we talk about Oklahoma hockey on this podcast, unless John Merrill goes off. In which case, we might have to revisit it.
I wonder if John Merrill was torn between going and getting that Michigan education or playing for the Oklahoma club team.
Well, he played Division I hockey at Michigan and then made it to the NHL. So I think
at the time, when he was 17, maybe his homies were going to Oklahoma. You know what I mean? It's a big...
I will be willing to bet that he had people that he grew up with that he knows somebody who is a Sooner.
Yeah, probably played on the club team. Exactly.
Well... Yeah, okay. He went to play for the national team at 17, which is in Ann Arbor, so that might have gotten him close to Michigan. All right.
Yeah, see, we love it. Be nice to John Merrill. He did not deserve the hate he felt.
Just give him a good
last year at the beginning of last year.
Him, I guess.
Yeah, and a valuable part of the team at the end of last year. Justin is very keen on his outlooks for this year. Thinks he can
I do. I think he's going to have a good season. I think he's in a contract year where he's making only $1.375 against the cap. And like a lot of these guys, we've said that they're UFAs, and this is probably their last year in Vegas. I do not feel that way about John Merrill. I think that he will sign an extension. Whether or not that's this year, he's eligible at, any point. I think he'll be back. I think that this is a guy that you can lock up for maybe 2 years at $2 million apiece, something like that, to kind of anchor kind of a bottom four pairing.
So an important season for him. Mm-hmm. And as I said, you're very high on him. So it makes me think that, maybe he has a chance. I think a lot of what his future, if they sign him up for that 2 year, it's going to come down to what he shows this year.
I agree.
And that brings us to our prop bet, which we do for all of them. Obviously, the Westgate, who we use, does not have anything posted for John Merrill.
I don't have anything about the University of Oklahoma club hockey team.
Yeah, we should make lines on we should get the Oklahoma club hockey schedule up. Maybe they play UNL. Maybe we can get a home and home with UNLV. Go out there and cover it. I don't know.
I bet they play each other.
It seems like the biggest. They
Central
probably would
Oklahoma,
play each other.
By the way, is in Edmond, Oklahoma.
Edmond, okay.
And
yeah.
Their mascot is the Bronchos.
I believe Edmond is the might.
I think they're very close.
Edmond's a little northern. I've driven through there before.
Okay. Anyway, let's get to the prop.
Right, I
we
guess
spent
just,
way
I,
too much time on just the state of Oklahoma.
I like
for a
Oklahoma
hockey podcast.
Oklahoma hockey. I don't even know what to do here. I guess the thing you've pointed to for the most optimism is his Corsi percentage, which was the best ever last year. Kind of out of whack with the rest of his career. Maybe I'm just going to go an over-under Corsi for the year. I'm going to put it at
50.5. Okay.
I really just made that up on the spot, so I'm as clueless as you are.
Cody Eakin and Derek England were the only players who were not above 50.5 last year. So I'm going to take the over.
I'm gonna go under. I'm selling high on John Merrill. There's
high.
Such thing as selling high on John Merrill. I like the guy a lot. I'm rooting the best for him, but I feel like those numbers might come down a little bit. We don't know where he's gonna be. He had been below 54 of the past 5 years, so I'm gonna say under.
How about we're taking strides in this podcast? If we're doing if we're betting over under on Corsi percentages,
I think
can't wait for
to...
tomorrow's Nick Holden's expected goals over under at 5-on-5.
Yeah, I think they probably even have to go to the gaming control board to actually post that because
I'm not sure. It has to be
it's
like
not an official stat.
It has to be raw totals, doesn't
well,
it?
Well, no, I mean they could. That's why I said they couldn't just post it without going to the gaming control board. Likely the control board would approve it. It just would be a giant pain. They would have to present all the reasons why it's a acceptable stat and why it can't be messed with. So I don't
anything
think that's ever
Oklahoma,
going. I don't think
for the Oklahoma boy.
I don't think that's going to happen at all. But shout out to Oklahoma. Shout out to John Merrill. This has been fun. This has been the Player Per Day podcast for Vegas Golden Podcast. From Justin, I'm Case. Thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow for one more player to talk about this week.